What's going on? Welcome on a Tuesday in New York City. It is Evan and Tiki on a cold, wintry day. Tiki is off. I think he's somewhere warm, so good for him. He'll be back in a day or so. So Sean Morash, after doing just a marvelous job, a bang-up job, pressing the buttons yesterday, he gets a reprieve. He gets to sit in the big chair, and I think I'm going to piss him off immediately.
Well, you already did, Evan. You already did.
What have I done already?
I mean, you want to say the show name again, Evan?
You're right. You're listening to Evan and Tiki with Sean Morash,
who happens to be right next to you today.
You know what? I love Tiki. Tiki's doesn't have the name of the show today. All right, it's just Evan. In fact, I'm gonna put your name first. It's Sean Morash and his little buddy Evan. That's today's show.
Morash and friends.
That's right. We got a busy show today. Should you be concerned about the New York Knicks, we will discuss. We will hear from both Aaron Glenn and Darren Mougi a little bit later on. And what we learned from James Dolan, who joined our guys Craig Carton and Chris McMonagle yesterday in the afternoons. Kevin Stefanski's available. We learned that yesterday. My first reaction to Stefanski being available was, I think it would be a good hire. I did my deep dive yesterday. I gave it a lot of thought. It's not that I think it's a bad hire. It's not that I would be apoplectic about it the way I was when the Jets hired Adam Gase. But I don't love it because I think what we're failing to do with Stefanski is look at the last 4 years. I mean, yes, 3 years ago they made the postseason. Joe Flacco, what a miracle. But their offense the last 2 years was ranked 29th and 31st.
Mm-hmm.
He made a few decisions this year in the sparingly time I used to watch Cleveland Browns football that boggled my mind. The quarterback decision around Shador, going for two and not using him and running the Wildcat. There are aspects of Kevin Stefanski that just worry me. So I don't think he's the slam dunk hire a lot of Giant fans think.
I vehemently disagree. It is not only the slam dunk hire, it is the hire. And something has gone heinously wrong with the Giants coaching search if Kevin Stefanski is not the New York Giants head coach when we start week one next year. Evan, this is a gift from the football gods. We have spent weeks, dare I say months, arguing about whether Mike McCarthy is a fit or not. And why? Because we're looking for a CEO type. We're looking for a guy who's done it before. To me, now there's only two guys that you could look at definitively on the market. If you want to throw Brian Flores in there, but we're kind of dismissing him because of the lawsuit.
Brian Flores is just not realistic.
Exactly.
I love him as a candidate. I think if we get in the weeds on the lawsuits, it's not a real thing.
Exactly. So I want to just put in the realm of, do you trust a coach that's done it before, or do you want to take a swing on a coordinator? I, in the past, have no problem taking a swing on a coordinator. The coordinators this year are very unappealing to me. I'm not necessarily in love outside of Chris Shula with hiring a defensive mind when you have a young guy like Jackson Dart. And Kevin Stefanski fits the mold. Two-time coach of the year. He took the Cleveland Browns to the playoffs twice. Now, you bring up the quarterback and taking Shador off the field, 2-point, all things I understand. If Kevin Stefanski, of all the coaching availabilities, and he's going to have his pick of the litter, the Falcons are talking to him, the Titans are talking to him. If he picks the New York Giants, he's picking them because he has Jackson Dart. And he clearly didn't want anything to do with the Deshaun Watson trade that felt like a Browns ownership thing. And if you're picking the Giants because of Jackson Dart, I think you're picking them because you feel like you're finally going to get a quarterback that you want to be a part of, and that you don't have to call goofy plays and figure out why your offense is struggling. I think it's a perfect marriage.
Yeah, but just because he picks the New York Giants, which I would expect him to. I mean, the Giants, and we talked about this briefly yesterday, and we could do it again today. To me, and I'm being an IFO in this regard, an independent football observer, I think they've got the most appealing job out there. Mm-hmm. By a decent amount. So him picking the job is more about Kevin Stefanski doing what's right for him.
Sure.
I'm talking about what's right for the New York Giants. And just because he wants the job, like your argument to me right now on why he's the dream hire was more about why he would want the job. I know why he would want the job. I'm talking about hiring him.
Your negatives to why you wouldn't want him hiring, I think, are debunked by the idea of he has a quarterback. Or everything that you're attributing to shows that he didn't have confidence in the quarterback.
Hold on a second. He had a quarterback. He also had Baker Mayfield, where he had early success.
Yes.
And deserves a lot of credit. That was his first year there. They won 11 games. They won a playoff game. And that was the first of his coaches of the year. It actually sounds familiar when you think of Brian Daboll. Yeah. Like, coach of the year, first year, quarterback you inherited. All good.
Got Case Keenum to an NFC Championship game.
What happened to... First of all, I'm talking about head coaching.
Okay, but I'm talking about him dealing with the quarterback.
No, his 1 year as an offensive coordinator, fine. I'm not talking about that. You just mentioned coordinators. I'm talking about head coach.
Okay.
Don't shy away from this.
Okay.
What happened to Baker Mayfield after that?
He started to get banged up, beat up, and he fell apart.
And they decided to move on from him. And he regressed. And the team regressed. And they had one good year in 23 where they won the 11 games, where Deshaun Watson played a little bit early, and then they ended up getting Joe Flacco. But the rest of his resume is not that impressive, is what I'm trying to tell you. And twice in his time in Cleveland, twice, he relinquished play-calling duties. So for the offensive genius that everyone claims that he is, twice he relinquished play-calling duties. Is that not a little bit of a red flag, a tiny red flag, a medium red flag? You tell me.
Well, I think we're coming at this from two separate ways here, Evan. Any coach that's available right now is either a coordinator who has never done it before or a head coach that's done it before. Any availability is going to have red flags, and any coach that's available is going to have a bit of a red flag attached to him because there's no perfect hires and solutions. So when we're having this conversation, I'm comparing Stefanski to what else the Giants could do here in this coaching search. Yeah, I will have minor concerns like that as far as like regression and everything that goes with it. But those concerns pale in comparison to the concerns I have of any of these coordinators like Jeff Hafley, where I have no idea if they even know how to pick a staff.
But I'm also concerned about, and I have been very consistent about this, I am concerned about someone who had their first head coaching job, had levels of success, but ultimately got fired and didn't have the ultimate success, gets fired because let's not forget the last 2 years, 8-26, which is very Daboll-like, if we're being honest.
It is.
Okay?
There's no question.
There is a concern I have, and I've always had, about that guy immediately taking another head coaching job.
I agree.
Whether it's a year as an offensive coordinator, a couple years as an offensive coordinator, a year on television, being an advisor, I always think, and by the way, look at NFL history. There are not as many examples of success when a failed head coach immediately gets another job versus sitting, watching, learning, and getting better. And ultimately, he failed in Cleveland. And so the idea of right away turning around and making him the most important head coaching hire the Giants have made in decades, it worries me.
I think it
does. That not worry you a little bit?
It does.
Tiny bit.
It does. And I think this is where we're just kind of polar opposites. Isn't any hire the Giants make right now going to worry you? Anyone?
Well, I think it depends. I mean, if John Harbaugh or Mike Tomlin are available,
that's
I'd be
different.
Far less worried.
Different, because Stefanski would not be my number one choice if Harbaugh was available. He still hasn't been fired.
I will answer it this way. I would be less worried about Mike McCarthy than I would be Kevin Stefanski.
Oh, see, I disagree.
Mike McCarthy has had more success throughout his NFL career. He just has. And even his time in Dallas, like they won 12 games in back-to-back years.
12 games in Dallas with that roster. Kevin Stefanski.
And what's happened since he left?
Kevin Stefanski.
Just answer that question. Okay. What's happened to Dallas since he left?
Ever since Dan Quinn left running the defense, they regressed defensively.
Mike McCarthy.
Dak Prescott just had this best season of his career without Mike McCarthy.
And how many wins did they have?
Because the defense stinks.
It's always someone else.
It is. McCarthy, the moment he lost Quinn.
That's fine. One of those arguments, he'll move the goalposts all day. Where's Tiki?
We talk about...
No, here's real quick, I apologize. Yeah. If Tiki was here, he'd agree with Sean.
Of course.
Because he really loves Stefanski. But I want to make this clear. I don't hate him. I'm just telling you that it doesn't feel like the slam dunk that you, Tiki, and others describe it as. Like, there are some worries to me about Stefanski.
I'm going to say this for a third time. It's a slam dunk in comparison to what else I'm looking at. That's it. Period, point blank. Of course I have minor concerns. Do you think, and we've dealt and covered with a lot of crappy football here for a long time.
Yes, we're experts on that.
The Cleveland Browns are the Giants and Jets in many ways.
In a lot of ways, yes.
Do you think you could be a bad head coach and win Coach of the Year twice with the Cleveland Browns?
I mean, Brian Daboll won Coach of the Year once. Oh, so the twice is what puts it over the top?
Well, if Brian Daboll won Coach of the Year twice, he's still not fired here.
8-26 the last 2 years.
Joe Flacco, 11 wins.
First of all, it wasn't Joe Flacco 11 wins. Deshaun Watson had 6.
Okay. All right. Do you think
I hate to interrupt you with facts.
Do you think Deshaun Watson was a disaster?
Ultimately, yes.
Do you think that's on Kevin Stefanski?
I do not. And I've been very careful in the first 10 minutes of the show. In my worries of Stefanski, I have not placed that on him.
Okay.
I haven't. I do place moving on from Baker Mayfield a little bit on him. Now, maybe he wouldn't have gone the Deshaun Watson way, especially with the contract and the trade.
They probably pulled the ripcord too quick.
I think the ripcord decision that they ultimately made, and I think he was a part of on Baker Mayfield, I will put at his feet. But no, I haven't brought up the name Deshaun Watson once. What I am bringing up is that the last 2 years have been disastrous. The stats have been awful. He relinquished play calling duties twice. And again, and this is the thing that's almost unprovable, it really worries me about immediately going into another job.
It does. I mean, Andy Reid did it from Philly to Kansas City.
Andy Reid is far different than Kevin Stefanski. How many championship games did Andy Reid coach in Philadelphia? He went to a Super Bowl. Kevin Stefanski made the playoffs twice. He won a playoff game. Congratulations.
Make it with the Browns.
So did Dable.
Making the playoffs twice in 5 years with the Cleveland Browns is like making four NFC championship games with the Eagles.
That's not fair.
It is the same equivalent. It is that hard to do. And I'll give you another thing. You know why? Because when we mention the CEO, we have to go back to this word, CEO type, which is what the Giants need.
Yeah.
Or what they're trying to target. Part of being a CEO type is when you go through hard times, is your team going to quit? The Cleveland Browns, in a dead as a doornail season, just beat the Steelers, who beat the Ravens 2 weeks ago. It would have been easy for them to pack it in. They have notoriously at the end of the year. You know why the Browns don't pick first either? They play their ass off in December and still play hard for the guy. Clearly, he is a guy that players are going to play hard for.
Based on that, why don't we bring Kafka back? The Giants played great in the last 2 weeks.
Well, that's a little different.
I do give him credit for that. I do give him credit for that because the Browns played it tough over the last few weeks of the season. I think that he is worthy of speaking to. I think he is a very interesting candidate. He, to me, does not fit the slam dunk category. And to define slam dunk, and these guys so far are not available, but they're still rumored to potentially be available, would be John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin. Those guys are slam dunks. Would you at least agree that if either one of those guys sneaks out, they would be the hire you would make over Kevin Stefanski?
Yeah. And I've been consistent about that dating back to when we did afternoons. I agree.
Fair enough.
But those guys are not available right now.
Right now they're not, but that's why you got to be patient in the search.
All right. But I know we say this about every head coaching search, so it's going to be a little hyperbole. Would you not agree that at least as it stands now, this feels like the most important head coaching search we have seen in a long time for the Giants?
I'm glad you made that comment. So one of the things that has driven me nuts over the years as a political geek is, quote, this is the most important election of our lifetime.
Okay.
1992 was, 1996 was, 2000 was. They were all the most. 08 was, 12 was, 16 was, 20 was, 24. And by the way, I got a spoiler alert. In 2028, we're going to hear the same thing. It's the most important election of our lifetime. And what I always get pisses me off about that, and I would love to tell MSNBC and Fox News, is it's the most important election of our lifetime right now.
I agree.
In the moment. And 4 years from now, that's going to be the most important election.
I agree.
But with that said, I agree that based on the talent on the roster, based on the clock that you have on a young quarterback who I believe in, just like you believe in, based on the lack of success this franchise has had, based on the status of Joe Shane, based on obviously we all feel for John Maurer right now.
Of course.
Based on all of that, I would agree with you that this is the most significant Giant hire, an important Giant hire in a few decades, because I think in a lot of the other cases, not to minimize a coaching hire, it was a lot of, we're working from the ground up, we'll see.
Yes.
This feels, and I certainly don't say this as a Giant fan, like a ready-made team. It feels like they are good coaching away from being what the Patriots were this year, or the Bears were this year, or even Jacksonville was. So I hate the most important of our lifetime because it's used all the time.
It is.
But I do think in this case, it feels that way.
It does. And so this is where I would just checkmate this whole thing about Stefanski. If this is, and we agree on this, and based on Dart and everything else you've put out there, that important, and this guy who's a two-time coach of the year recently with a bad organization who didn't have a quarterback and you think you have a quarterback, why would you take the chance now? If it comes down to Stefanski versus Halfley versus Shula versus Jesse Minter, why would you take the chance in failing on another coordinator when this is the coach available now? Why? Why are you in a position, organization, to take that chance? And it's not as if we find out where Stefanski gets fired and you want to say, well, it's best to sit out. The Giants aren't the only team going to talk to him. Can the Giants afford, with all the egg they've had on their face with letting guys walk, for Kevin Stefanski to go have success in Tennessee with Cam Ward while the Giants are firing Joe Shane in 2 years with the new head coach who didn't work out, and then we're worried about whether Jackson Dart's the guy or not? Can they afford that?
No, I get your point. I will add one thing to this, because at the beginning of our discussion, you talked about why Kevin Stefanski would want this job.
Right.
And I echo that. I feel the Giants have the most appealing job out there. There is one thing that would change the perception of the New York Giants in a major way if it happens. If the Giants identify Stefanski as the guy they want, the way you feel, the way a lot of other people feel, and he chooses someone else, he chooses the Las Vegas Raiders, he chooses the Atlanta Falcons, two situations that are not the worst, but I don't think as good as the Giants, that to me would be a major red flag on something Joe Shane had to answer yesterday, which is your presence going to be a deterrent on someone taking this job? He has reassured us that's not the case. I'm even starting to believe it's not really going to be the case. But we're not going to find out until someone literally turns the Giants down. And you could argue, but Evan, he would turn it down because he loves Fernando Mendoza, or he'd turn it down because he loves Arthur Blank, or whatever other reason you want to come up with. To me, it would be a major warning sign that Joe Shane remaining as general manager is a hindrance on this search if guys they prefer say no. Because I would follow up by saying why. And the only why I could genuinely come up with is the presence of Joe Shane.
There's no doubt it has been the biggest worry. It's why yesterday's actions by the New York Giants disgusted me as a fan base. It's also their Stefanski's their ripcord out of this mistake of keeping Joe Shane. But if he does, I mean, how many people around the NFL need to comment that the Giants have the best head coaching opening? And if they're saying that, if the whole league feels that way and Stefanski chooses elsewhere, you have no choice but to think it's Joe Shane. And if that is the case, and the Giants do find out, man, they better pull with the Jaguars, pull with Liam Cullen and Trent Baalke, because it's never too late to fire a guy that's a hindrance. Don't just hire Jeff Hafley instead of Kevin Stefanski because Stefanski doesn't want to work with Joe Shane. It's not too late to fire him if that is a deterrent.
We will get to your calls, Giant fans, your feelings towards Kevin Stefanski and others, 888-808-1019. And yesterday, late in the show, I tried to warn everybody that no matter what happens in Detroit last night, let's not overreact to Knicks Pistons. Well, what I didn't see happening was the Knicks basically not showing up and getting blown out. So we will address if Knicks fans should indeed be worried after their fourth straight loss and an absolute embarrassing effort against the Detroit Pistons. We'll address it coming up in the next 10 minutes. The Knicks' issues are beyond the Pistons. They have played garbage basketball since the NBA Cup. And I think we're all kind of dancing around it. But
yeah.
Is this a cup issue? I mean, the numbers are the numbers.
Not like, having Josh Hart has killed them.
Not having Josh Hart hurts. But let's not act like they've never been shorthanded. Plus,
no.
The effort level has been so bad. The ball movement, which we saw so much of earlier in the season, is non-existent. You know, the Knicks have scored 100 points in every game until the last three games, when in two of the last three games, they haven't hit 100.
And OG Anunoby's been embarrassing.
I mean, OG Anunoby didn't want to play last night. Karl-Anthony Towns had statistically his worst game of his NBA career last night, and Jalen Brunson had zero assists last night. And for whatever reason, and this, again, the reason I say this isn't about the Pistons, it's not a knock at them, it's that this has been going on since the Cup. Like, even the wins they had after the NBA Cup were those ugly, lucky kind of wins. They were losable games, like the game against Indiana where they were sitting guys. So they haven't played well. Now,
championship hangover.
Yes. I don't know if it's championship hangover or if it's effort hangover or whatever it is, but I got news for you because I want to pay attention to the entire NBA to make us feel better, to make Knicks fans feel better. You know who else has played like crap for the last 3 weeks? Anyone want to guess? So the Knicks are, I think, 5-6 in their last 11 games since the Cup. The Oklahoma City Thunder are also 6-6 since their semifinal loss to the Spurs. And did you happen to see what happened to them last night?
I didn't.
They lost by 27.
I have to go to bed early now.
That's fine. Follow-up question would be, okay, Evan, who'd they lose to? The Charlotte Hornets. So we can't act like slumps in January are exclusive to the Knicks or this proves there's something flawed with the team. They suck right now. I'm not going to defend them. And we can go through all the aspects of their suckiness right now. But over the course of a long NBA season where, yes, now we have an NBA Cup mixed in the middle, I can't look at it and say, a bunch of frauds. Again, the Thunder are 6-6 in their last 12, and they lost by 27 to the Hornets last night. Or do you think they're panicking in Oklahoma City?
No, not at all.
I don't know what they're talking about in Oklahoma City, actually.
Yeah, probably the Sooners and what's going on with the portal. Here's the thing, though, with the Knicks, Evan. We're not used to this because the Tom Thibodeau Knicks kept their pedal to the metal, and they owned January and February.
Here we go.
But it's true. And this is what always we would argue about and that would come back to haunt the Knicks when they ran out of gas in the playoffs. So, you know what? If they're going through a malaise now and Josh Hart's not playing now and maybe Karl-Anthony Towns is, you know, whatever, floating around, I think that the Knicks have graduated to the point where we can expect them to flip a switch come the playoffs. I do.
Well, I think they're going to flip a switch far before the playoffs.
Of course.
This isn't going to continue.
Well, they're going to have an AF February.
Look, what's damaging about last night is, and this is a question for each individual Knicks fan, I know what Tommy used to tell us. He said home court advantage matters to him, which I respect. Losing last night to Detroit, putting themselves in a greater hole. They also dropped behind Boston, and major credit to what they've done without Jason Tatum, who may be on his way back soon. I think that, yes, it hurts their efforts to get the number one seed. I don't think there's any question about that. I happen to not think it's a big deal, despite the regular season splits. Like, just to put it in perspective, the Knicks are 7-9 on the road. The Nets are 6-9 on the road.
Yep.
So, obviously, they have not been a good road team. But let's not forget the playoffs last year. How'd they do in Detroit last year? I'll remind you.
Yeah.
They didn't lose.
Right.
So, I'm not overly concerned about the home road thing come playoff time. It's just frustrating to sit there and watch a lack of effort. I mean, they didn't care last night. They didn't care at the beginning of the game. They certainly didn't care during that horrible run in the third quarter.
Duncan Robinson cared.
The Pistons absolutely care. That's why I'm not crapping on them, dude. The Pistons deserve a lot of credit. They have played wonderful basketball. They're playing shorthanded. They clearly wanted last night. Cade Cunningham said it after the game. Mm-hmm. They wanted to send a message, and good for them. I just don't think this has any bearing on what happens in May. But it was awful. No question. And the broadcast wasn't much better.
I mean, that was...
I mean, give me Clyde and Breen.
If Peacock's,
even Alan Hahn.
If Peacock's doing a game, can we not have it sound like college TV?
You don't like Grant Hill and Kate Scott?
It was not a great broadcast.
Kate Scott is the Sixers broadcaster, I think.
Is she?
Yeah. So one of the things I noticed, and I try to be fair about this.
Didn't love it.
The impression many Knicks fans had, and I know you guys are biased, that's why I got to be an IBO, was that Kate specifically didn't like the Knicks and was almost enjoying the failures of last night.
I could see that.
And I have to tell you, I kind of agree with it.
I could see that.
And I also kind of can't blame her. She's the Sixers broadcaster. Yeah. Like, wouldn't it naturally just come out?
Yeah.
The other day.
Grant, too many lulls, too, when she's done. Like, can you give us something?
Yeah, no, I get you. I think it's natural as a broadcaster to have your rooting interest show. I did a Rico Bronya the other day recapping Game 6 of the 86 World Series, and I found Jack Bauk's national radio call for the Billy Buckner play, and Jack Bauk sounded miserable. He sounded like he just hated the fact that Mookie hit the ground ball that Billy couldn't play, and ultimately what I came up with is, yeah, he hates the Mets. I mean, that's what it was. The Cardinals-Mets had a major rivalry, and he was pissed about it.
You hate the Mets, Joe B.
If I played that clip for Joe, he would totally agree. All right, let's get to your phone calls on Kevin Stefanski, the New York Giants, and everything else, 888-808-1019. We'll kick it off with Ryan in Bayonne. What's up, Ryan?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
What's up, Ryan?
I'm frustrated right now, and the reason I'm frustrated is because of Sean.
Okay.
Like, I just can't understand why would you rather have Kevin Stefanski when he has 4 losing seasons out of 6 over a coach that you're not even naming, Mike McCarthy.
I did name Mike McCarthy.
Coach. But you name all these other DCs and coordinators before you say Mike McCarthy.
I think Mike McCarthy was the first other name I brought up because he was obviously a guy with experience. Here's my issue with Mike McCarthy. Now we're talking about stop 3. And Mike McCarthy, the moment Dan Quinn left Dallas, was not the same coach anymore. Dak Prescott didn't miss him for a second. And all this talk about Mike McCarthy's winning, I understand winning 12 games in Dallas. The Browns roster is not the Cowboys roster. A tree stump could coach Dallas to 9 wins.
All that doesn't make any sense to me because you'll give credit for Stefanski for the same things that you won't give for Mark McCarthy.
Ryan, say, okay, Ryan, if the say, Jets had a guy win Coach of the Year twice in 5 years, we'd want a statue built for him, right? We're talking about Cleveland Browns.
You just said, okay, in the beginning of Stefanski's career for the Browns, he won because he had a quarterback.
Mike McCarthy
does the same thing.
He had a very young Baker Mayfield that we still don't know how great he is.
Yeah, but if you give Mike McCarthy a quarterback, he does the same thing he did with the Packers and the Cowboys because he had Aaron Rodgers and he had Dak Prescott. And he took Dak Prescott to another level, something that we need from our quarterback in New York.
Ryan, it's a great phone call. I happen to agree with you, and this has been going on for a long time. This is not a new conversation around here. I've been on the same side of this for 5 years. There is a disrespect and dislike for Mike McCarthy. There was when the Jets were pursuing him and ultimately didn't hire him, which caused Joe and I to have major pain and angst, and it's going on again. And I can try to get into Sean's head because he's certainly the guy speaking about this right now. I don't understand how a guy who's been at 2 stops, won a championship, won 12 games in back-to-back years with the Cowboys, something they had not accomplished in a very long time prior to Mike coming in, I don't understand why he is talked about like he's this,
look,
blah head coach. He's had success, and he's not perfect. Like, we all remember the specific playoff moments that we all sat back and questioned, but ultimately, the proof is in the pudding. He's won games, and I don't fully understand the disrespect you and others have had towards him.
I don't think Mike McCarthy's a bad head coach, so let's just get that out of the way. I think he's a fine, good head coach. The Super Bowl's a long time ago. I think this coaching search for the Giants is about threading a needle that's very hard to thread, that Kevin Stefanski feels like, oh, my God, you could thread it, which is I want a little bit of a younger guy with upside. Stefanski, much younger than Mike McCarthy. but I also want a guy that I think untapped can eventually not just get this team to be a perennial playoff team, but I can envision holding a Lombardi trophy next to Jackson Dart one day. I think Mike McCarthy, although he won 15 years ago, is the kind of coach like Tom Thibodeau where he will get you to a certain point and in 3 years you're making another decision to hire another head coach. I don't want to make another decision in 3 years. I want stability for 15 years. And maybe that sounds hocus pocus, but I think Stefanski actually presents more of an opportunity for that than Mike McCarthy does.
Real quick before we get to more of your calls. So the age of Mike McCarthy is a slight issue.
And how are you going to surprise me? Is Kevin Stefanski closer to him?
No, hold on. Why do you always think when I reaffirm something you said that there's about to be a gotcha moment to it?
Because there usually is. Now, you're going to tell me Stefanski's older than I think he is.
No, it has nothing to do with Kevin Stefanski. Right. You just said, I just want to make sure I'm not misquoting you.
Is there
a concern around Mike McCarthy's age?
I think when combined with his weight, yes.
Okay. John Harbaugh's older.
I know. Who's a better coach?
I think they're both really good coaches.
Stop it.
They're both Super Bowl champions.
Stop it.
Look, in a way, you have to give McCarthy credit that he went to another location and also had success.
I get worried about a third stop.
Why?
Harbaugh would be the second stop.
Would you be worried about Andy Reid's third stop? Would you be worried about Bill Belichick's third stop?
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying...
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because he's gotten older. Times change. Yeah, it would be. That's why I didn't want Belichick.
I think Pete Carroll's third stop was the Seattle Seahawks. It worked out all right.
I guess that's true.
It is true because he had those early opportunities.
Had the fourth stop work out?
The fourth stop was not successful. Let's go to Alex in Southampton, New Jersey. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, guys. Congratulations on your new spot. Zeke is not here today, but I wanted him here. But Sean, I'm sorry. I'm totally against. Well, congratulations, Sean. You know, we love you.
Thank you.
We love you, but we hate you. Go ahead.
Yeah, we love you and we hate you, Sean. And that's, you know, that's what we love, that we're telling you. No personal, but listen, I can't stand Stefanski. I think the Giants need a man in the room. I don't think he is. But what he's been, what, 6-7 years with Cleveland? Okay, let me address you, Sean. Yeah, he won two coaches a year. We had a coach that won coach of the year. How did that work out?
By the way, I was pro Dable, though.
Oh, okay, I know you were, but I'm just saying, how many losing seasons? How many quarterbacks? What has he built? What continuity did he get in Cleveland that we can say, okay, this is the guy? I mean, he sabotaged, plainly. I think Tiki was the only one talking about it. He sabotaged Shedeur Sanders.
He sabotaged Shedeur Sanders? He's the coach that actually gave Shedeur Sanders an opportunity when every other team kept freaking passing
on. Okay.
He sabotaged Dylan Gabriel by benching him as fast as he did.
Wasn't he the one that put Shedeur unprepared without a snap?
That ended up being a full Alex. Alex.
Hold on.
No. Now you're going. Alex. Where did he sabotage Shedeur? That whole wristband thing, we ended up finding out. All right, Alex, you're not going to let me talk. I'm pulling the big boy thing.
Wow, he hung up on him. He Francesa waved him.
We're going to debunk a few myths because Evan and I were pro Shedeur guys. We wanted Shedeur drafted. So that needs to be established before I make the following comments. We came on this radio station, several of us, and we discussed that Shedeur Sanders wristband situation.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, Shedeur admitted he screwed up. One of the things fell out. It had nothing to do with Stefanski. We thought he was setting him up to fail. And as far as, like, whatever else he was referencing, and, well, he put Shedeur in when he was unprepared in the first team reps. Don't follow Josina Anderson on Twitter and follow people who follow the NFL. Backup quarterbacks don't get first team reps in practice. They're supposed to be prepared to come into a game. Was it an issue with third team reps when Jameis Winston came in and played and I was anti him for a long time when he's scoring against the Detroit Lions? No. So how did he sabotage him? If anything, giving a fifth round pick an opportunity to start games and actually look good is a credit to Stefanski.
He's not a fifth round pick. He's a fifth round pick, but he's not a fifth round pick.
Okay.
And I don't know if those in the room are going to ask these questions. And I don't know if you guys think these questions are important, but I'll tell you what I think is important. If Joe Shane, John Mara, the Tishes, Chris Mara, Tiki Barber, whoever's in the room interviewing Kevin Stefanski, I want to know more about Shedeur Sanders. I want to know more about why it seemed to me, despite those things not being true, that he had no interest in playing Shedeur Sanders. None.
But did he?
Why was Dylan Gabriel?
Because you picked him ahead.
Who cares? What does that matter?
Now, we don't know the answer.
And by the way, you know he was picked poorly in terms of the draft.
Of course.
For reasons that had nothing to do with football.
Okay.
Now, Kevin Stefanski can answer that and say, hey, look, guys, I'm going to tell you the reason. He needed to be humbled. We needed to really humble him before being given the opportunity. That's a fair answer. I don't know if that's the answer, though.
But this is what I don't like about this. the team and the coach that ultimately ended up taking Shador in the free fall is now suddenly by people punished because of their handling of Shador, when maybe that speaks to the free fall in general to begin with. Like, in the end, you know who doesn't have to answer questions about this today? Raheem Morris, or, you know, insert whatever other coach got. Jonathan Gannon, who the Cardinals didn't have a coach. Like, isn't it a bigger question to Jonathan Gannon why you guys didn't take Shador Sanders? Maybe he would have helped your job?
By the way, I'd ask that question to Aaron Glenn today.
Okay, exactly.
If I was there, I'd say, hey, are you guys reconsidering not taking a quarterback in the first round? Could have been Jackson Dart, could have been Shadir, as Joe likes to call him.
The Browns, who would... and we don't know who was involved. What? Feel like ownership gets involved. We think our owners are involved. Feels like their owners step in with the draft process all the time. So now that team that took Shador and that coach that eventually put him on the field is we're going to punish him in the limelight while the other 31 teams can throw their hands up. That's not right to me.
Let's say good morning to Karen in the great state of Pennsylvania. What's up, Karen?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to raise one point about Kevin Stefanski that I think a lot of people are missing. The guy is from Philadelphia. He has deep roots in Philadelphia. His father was the GM of the Sixers. His family is all Eagles fans that currently live in Philadelphia. He absolutely cannot be the head coach of the New York Giants. No one with Philadelphia roots like that should ever be the head coach of the New York Giants.
Hold on a second. My brain has been blown for a second. And I want to apologize because I like to be informed. Uh-huh. And when I'm not informed, I'll be the first to admit it. You're telling me that former Nets GM, Ed Stefanski, is Kevin's dad?
Yes.
How did I not know that?
We brought this up in a Cinco like a year ago.
Really?
And your mind was blown then.
Oh, it's been blown twice.
Yes. Now, the other problem with Karen has is if that is what we're going to issue, and I could get down with an anti-Philly thing, we're going to have to eliminate half the Knicks roster.
I was going to say.
And that's not going to sit well with me.
The Knicks would be expelled from the NBA or New York City.
And Abdul Carter's got to go too.
Yeah, Abdul Carter is a worry. So when we were at Giant Camp and we were having fun, asking some tough questions, but having fun, Abdul Carter was there, and I asked him very nicely, on air, I don't think this was off air, I said, can you do me a favor, can you repeat after me? And he's like, what do you got? And I told him, Eagles suck. And he wouldn't do it. Yeah. And he's that loyal to, I guess, his youth of being an Eagle fan that even as a current player of the Giants, now we'll ask him again next year if they allow us to go to Giant Camp, and I'll see if that's changed after a year.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I think we only get Slayton next year. Craig and C-Mac will talk to Abdul.
I think that we have to put the geography behind us because if you look at all the teams in our town, they are not exactly loyal to the teams that we are loyal to. They're loyal to the paychecks they get.
You know what Karen keeps thinking to herself? I can't have Kevin Stefanski ruin the Giants. Spike Eskin already ruined WFAN. That's what she's leaning on.
You know, we've... By the way, now my family gets to see me a lot at home.
Yeah.
I wonder if they want to throw me back now.
Yeah.
We have taken nothing but anti-Stefanski calls, so I do want to be fair. I know Richie in Queens is more pro-Kevin Stefanski, so Richie, the floor is yours, sir.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Real quick with the Knicks. I know it's you brought up a good point. Everybody goes too low, Shawnee, and I feel that at this point they're soft. They're not athletic. They're not quick. They don't guard the perimeter. Defensively, it's going to be an issue to say that they're going to march and win the East. There's some teams that are just athletically so much better. And if they don't get that defensive prowess back, they're really going to have an issue. And Cat's a major issue. He just gives you nothing in certain points. He just defensively such a liability. And even offensively, sometimes I just wonder about his game. Okay, with the coaching, you guys, I'm listening. And yes, Stefanski came up. But McCarthy is a guy I kind of pushed for initially. The thing I love about him, and you know this, guys, he worked with Favre. He worked with Montana as a quarterback's coach. He built up Dak. We need a guy that can give us stability. Let's not talk about winning the Super Bowl at this point. Let's get back to getting to the playoffs. And you look at Harbaugh and Tomlin the last 10 years, like the last 7 or 8 years, they've been pretty miserable in the playoffs. So, yeah, you want to get the right guy. If those guys are available, I'll lean towards them. My initial choice was getting Shuler. But if McCarthy's available and you could get the good offensive coordinator, he can work with Dart McCarthy. I think he'd be the fit, Shawnee. I really do. And I know
who's coaching the defense, Richie? Who's coaching the defense? That's a big mark for
McCarthy.
You're
going to get a defensive coordinator. You're going to need that. But you need a coach on top that's going to give you that stability again.
But Richie, Stefanski can bring his stability, and he may bring Jim Schwartz with him. Well, I mean, Mike McCarthy was lost without Dan Quinn.
I'm not against Stefanski. I think what he did, he worked with Mayfield, and when he had a good quarterback, he won Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
I'm just saying with leaning towards and also, Ev, you brought up a good point. This is the most important election. These are the best group of kids I've ever had. This is the most important quarterback search. It's always at the moment. I agree. But right now with
Richie,
with the coach,
Richie, can I
it
say
really
something?
Is
to you?
Important.
Yeah,
Richie,
so what do you want to say, Sean?
You're the most important caller we had
in this moment.
Yeah.
Until I click someone else.
Yes.
Yes, you were the most important caller ever until we said good morning to Dennis and Yonkers. You are now the most important caller we have ever taken. What's up, Dennis?
I'm flattered, guys. Thanks.
No problem.
Evan, Sean, how are you both?
Hey, good,
so Sean, you ticked me off enough. And we're both Giant fans, so we want the best for our team.
That's hard to do.
To stop doing what we're doing. And part of it's already been tainted with Joe Shane being retained, but let's hope he becomes, I don't know, Les Snead and Jason Licht more than Dave Gettleman.
Right.
I don't know.
Or even Ryan Poles in Chicago, who sucked before Ben Johnson got there.
Speaking of Gettleman, he never looked at Pat Shurmur's game time management when he coached the Browns, which was considerably worse than Stefanski's tenure with Cleveland. But this is a coach. He's 12 under 500 for his career, including playoffs. And Cliff Kingsbury is the other guy who seems to be in the same basket. Hey, let's get these guys out there. You throw a flash offense. And their offense, I actually like their run game in the offense. It's their passing game. And more to the point, game time management of Stefanski is abysmal. Now, this is minor, but I made a retentive about this. He's one of those go for two down eight guys. And that would be one of the first questions in my interview process. Do you go for two down eight? Yes.
Dennis, that'll piss me off too. No doubt about it. I'll go nuts about that. But this is where just my counter argument happened at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know who is like the absolute worst with time management you've seen in these big games? McCarthy.
I know.
Okay, so now let's just eliminate that. How do we know that Chris Shula, Jeff Hafley, Jesse Minter? And that's the only point I keep coming back to. And usually I'm very pro swinging on a coordinator. But for all the knocks of like what worries you about Stefanski, you have no freaking idea if those guys are worse.
Yeah, so here's the way I'm going to phrase this. Because I think most people agree or lean towards an experienced head coach for the New York Giants. I don't think that's unique. I think most people talking about this, mm-hmm. Giant fans or non-Giant fans, are saying, hey, state of the franchise, I want a guy who's done it before. I'm going to phrase a little bit differently.
Okay.
I want the surest thing possible. Okay?
I agree.
The guy who has the littlest, yeah. The tiniest amount of bust factor.
Uh-huh.
And the guy who will come here and maybe doesn't win me a championship, but it's not going to set my franchise back a half a decade. And while I don't think Kevin Stefanski has huge bust factor, I think he's got more bust factor than Mike McCarthy.
Ooh, okay.
That's how I would frame. And I think that while he may be boring to some, and I understand the point of you're not going to win a championship with him, even though he did do it a decade and a half ago, I think we would agree, if I'm trying to find common ground with people that we disagree with, meaning you,
uh-huh.
Mike McCarthy has less of a bust factor, and there's less of a chance of this going haywire with him versus Kevin Stefanski and some others.
So I've thought about that, and what breaks the tie for me is something Tiki ingrained in my brain, I know he brought it up yesterday, and that is just simply who's coming with mm-hmm. the staff. I think Mike McCarthy is a higher bust factor on staff. I mean, Schottenheimer's already the head coach of Dallas. Dan Quinn's already the head coach of Washington. Jim Schwartz essentially will be a free agent with him. He could have his pick of the litter OCs. He's worked with Pat Shurmur, could come be the OC here. Stefanski, actually, I think, and I wish I had this all in front of me, all the rabbit hole, the different coaches he's worked with. I think there's more there to put together a better staff with Kevin Stefanski, which would make me feel like he's less of a bust factor.
Patrick is calling from Melville. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how you going? Hey, Sean, I just want to know, are you like, you have the anatomy of a Jets fan. You guys had like, I mean, literally when the Jets had the chance to hire Mike McCarthy, what do they do? They go hire Adam Gase. And I think that Kevin Stefanski is basically the Adam Gase.
Oh, that is so unfair. Two-time coach in Cleveland is not Adam Gase.
We want no part of Kevin Stefanski. We need, like I said, like just like the other caller said, we just need to be relevant right now. Let Mike McCarthy get us to 12 wins, and then we can moan that he didn't get us to the Super Bowl.
And Patrick, Mike McCarthy doesn't roll out of bed and win 12 wins without a great roster. I know we hate the Cowboys here. The Cowboys had a great roster. Looking back at all the Cowboy drafts that built up leading to Mike McCarthy, they were so ready-made. The Cowboys roster with Mike McCarthy was far better than the Giant roster we're trying to give it credit for now.
I apologize. I'll tell you something that's going to probably annoy you. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to duck. That's going to be my strategy.
All right, go ahead.
Tell you something, and I'm going to duck. But it's a fact. Adam Gase, higher winning percentage with Miami than Kevin Stefanski with Cleveland.
Okay.
It's the Cleveland Browns. Their roster has sucked.
Oh, God. And the Dolphins, what are the Dolphins
talking about Jerry
now?
Judy is your number one wide receiver the whole time.
What the hell are the Dolphins? They won a playoff game in a decade, two decades and a half. I mean, come on now. I'm just saying, like, in the 3 years, the brief time that Adam Gase was in Miami, he had a winning season, made the playoffs in two losing seasons, but his winning percentage was actually higher than Kevin Stefanski.
Good for him.
With that said, obviously, Stefanski is a much better candidate. I just wanted to give you the information. Just so you could have it for talking Giants.
If I was any one of these coordinators thinking about taking the Giants job that hasn't been a head coach before, I would listen to every caller that's called our show so far and go, I'm staying far away from the... If I'm going to get punished for not winning enough games with that crappy organization, like, that's what we're punishing Stefanski for? 12 games under 500 for the Cleveland Browns? Build the statue.
Mike in New Rochelle. What's shaking, Mike?
Hey, Happy New Year, brother. How we doing, man?
Good, man. What's up?
Do me a favor, Evan. You're great with history, okay? Name me a coach, head coach,
yep,
that we've hired that has any experience since Tom Coughlin left us.
Pat Shurmur.
Okay?
Pat Shurmur.
All right? It's got to stop. All right? It's got to stop.
Also from Cleveland.
Judge, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. We need to get either, all right? Pittsburgh or Baltimore's head coach, whether it costs us a pick or two or whatever it is, to get this thing right.
Well, okay? hold on. They're not available now, Sean.
I think
those cases are still undecided.
Well, what are we talking
Obviously,
about?
Obviously, the Steelers have a playoff game this weekend, so that's clearly undecided. And I think what's going on right now in Baltimore, my guess would be that John Harbaugh's not going to be fired. Him and Stephen Biscotti would probably have a nice discussion, nice little coffee, mm-hmm, dinner or breakfast, whenever the hell you have coffee. I don't drink coffee. In fact, I've only had coffee one time in my life. It's a horrible story. But I'm going to tell it anyway. Why not?
Diarrhea.
I was going for my SATs,
uh-huh,
Saturday morning, and I wanted energy. And I knew so little about coffee. This is how stupid I am. And you could say I'm still stupid, but this is how dumb I was as a teenager going for my SATs. I go to Dunkin' Donuts, of course.
Uh-huh.
I order a coffee, and I try to use lingo that makes me sound like I know what I'm talking about. So yeah. I say decaf. Well, what the hell was the point of me getting coffee if I ordered decaf?
No, you're not getting the caffeine out of it. Who likes the taste of coffee?
That's my point. I didn't know decaf meant no caffeination.
What did you think it meant?
I don't know. I thought I was
light and sweet,
bro. I thought I was using lingo. I was 16 years old. I mean, I was a schmuck then. I'm a schmuck now.
You know what I did in school when I was that age? I would go to Dunkin'. I would get, because I knew I didn't like coffee, I would get hot chocolate, and this was all my college life, and I would drink hot chocolate every day like it was coffee because I thought it made me look smarter. And everybody thought I was drinking coffee.
That's actually pretty smart. Yeah. What'd you get on your SATs?
I never took them.
You never took them?
Never took
them. Well, that's right. You told me that, which never is took crazy.
I knew I was going to Suffolk Community College. They weren't checking SATs, so why was I wasting a Saturday morning?
Would you take one? Like, if I paid for it, would you take one Saturday morning just so we could see what you or how you would do?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested now because I have a kindergartner I'm helping with homework, so maybe I've learned a thing or two.
There you go.
But, like, in the end, you end up realizing in life, and this is for all the young kids out there, the SATs in college, generally speaking, can be a waste of time.
Oh, yeah, colossal.
Colossal waste of time. Like, you find something you want to do, unless it's Iona, by all means, actually, go to Iona. Never mind.
We'll get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Plus, we have the answer to a short-term bet question we made yesterday, which was, what would Chris McMonagle's first question for James Dolan be? We have the answer, plus the most interesting things we learned from James Dolan yesterday when he joined The Carton Show with Craig Carton and Chris McMonagle, plus more of your calls on Kevin Stefanski and the Giants coaching search, and we will hear from Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji a little bit later on in the 11 o'clock hour.